I am so happy to be here. You know, when you can't have something for a while, when I was a student in Germany, it was peanut butter. They didn't have peanut butter over there. And when I tasted peanut butter, it was like, it was great again, you know. And to be preaching here today, and to those of you who are watching us online, I'm glad you're with us this morning as we worship God and we hear from His Word, and we need it. We need the Word of God in our life. And I hope you'll track with me this morning. The message is, this is Trinity Sunday, but the message, I think, is a really important one. It's as you go. May only His Word be spoken, only His Word heard. Amen. Yes, like I said, today's scripture is very, very important because these are the parting words of Jesus before He ascended into heaven. It is called the Great Commission. It's the marching orders. It's the mandate that Jesus gives ultimately to every Christian, to all of us. In effect, Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, if you love me, if you want to follow me, then this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to make the number one priority. This is your purpose for living. It's to make disciples. Disciples of me, Jesus. Right? This section of the Word of God is so crucial. And we must understand it and take it to heart that I want to take it verse by verse. Right? So, we begin with verse 16. It should be on your screen. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. The disciples were heading back to familiar territory. You know, all the 11 disciples that were left, they were all Galileans, all of them. Only Judas was a non-Galilean, right? And Jesus had directed them to that mountain, maybe the very same mountain where he had been transfigured. I think that's a pretty good guess that that's where it was. Right? What I think is significant here is that these 11 disciples represented the church. And so what is the number one goal of the Holy Christian Church? In particular, our church, what's the number one goal and purpose? It's to make disciples. To make disciples. And therefore, any church that is not reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ is not obeying this mandate. Now, there may be lots of good things churches do. In fact, there are. But if they're not keeping this number one, making disciples, then they're not doing what Jesus wants them to do first and foremost. Verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. It's simply a fact that there are varying degrees of faith and commitment among people of a particular church, our church, right? Some doubted. There are some church members, even some church leaders, who don't think making disciples should be the number one goal of the church. They don't. They have other ideas of what the church should be doing foremost, right? What I have found, and I'm going to be frank about it, these are the same kind of Christians who doubt the miracles of Christ, want to argue with the Word of God, want to reinterpret it, want to say something it doesn't say. These are the same ones who feared being called fanatics, you know, because it's all about Jesus. No, they want to make it something else. In truth, they're not helping us carry out the Great Commission. They're actually being a hindrance. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." The Father exalted Jesus Christ, the God-man, after the resurrection. Jesus Christ is in every respect, equal to the Father, as is the Holy Spirit. But to Jesus has been given authority. He has dominion over the angels in heaven. On this earth, he has authority over all rulers, all over presidents, all governing authorities. Now, they may not know that. They may rebel against it. But he has authority over them. And someday, and I think it may be coming sooner than we think, someday every knee will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. And they will know that he had authority, whether they've obeyed it or not. Practically, let me tell you what this means, that Jesus has all authority in earth and heaven. It means when you pray to Jesus, he can grant you anything. He can make everything the way you ask him to. He can do this. He's in charge of it all. Nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. When we pray, he is the one who has all authority. So why are we not praying more? And I speak this to myself too. Why are we not praying more? Why are we not praying more boldly? Why are we not asking and seeking and knocking? Because our Savior Jesus Christ has and will continue to make things happen according to our prayers. That should kind of blow our minds, right? And Jesus has this authority, and when we pray to him, sometimes he'll move heaven and earth to answer our prayer in the way we've asked it. Remember, let's pray to the one who has all authority. Verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now we're at the core, the heart of our scripture this morning. There's only one imperative here, only one. The imperative is to make disciples. The word to go is a participle. In other words, it really kind of reads like this. As you're going, as you're living your life, go make disciples. And you do that by going, baptizing, and teaching. All reaching out, all evangelism, really is the result of experiencing Christ in us and letting that come out of us and shine. Jesus chose to write his message on our hearts, his message of love and forgiveness. People see our words and our actions, true Christians now, and they see that we're different. We react differently than the world reacts to things that are going on. And that would be true especially today. Christians act in a different way, right? And then people will see it. They will see by listening to what we say and by our actions, and they'll be curious. And they want to know why we're different. I've seen this time and time again. My wife is a good example of this. Wherever she went to work, she was a reflection of Christ. And people would start coming to my church, whether in Alabama or here in Tennessee. You know, she was a lightning rod, a magnet for people because they saw that she was different. No true Christian ever really wants to keep his thoughts about Jesus locked up and hidden away. No, we don't want to do that at all. And it reflects in our actions. The go in this verse is not just a flat command. It's more like an encouragement. Go, tell what you know about me. You don't have to have all the facts. There's only a few of us that know all the doctrines perfectly. Pastor Danny, myself, we know everything there is to know about the Bible. Pastor Steve, Pastor Phil, you know, lesser lights. Just kidding. Right. No, Just tell what you know about Jesus. It doesn't have to be flowery. What he did by dying on the cross for everybody. About forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. We all have guilt. We need to hear that we're forgiven by Jesus. And tell them about the incredible love of God that we haven't deserved. Tell them about the Holy Spirit who will lift them up and take the scales off their eyes so they can understand the scriptures and see the plan of God for the whole world. Tell them about these things. Baptizing is said. Baptism is a sacrament. What does that mean? It's a sacred act that God does. We may be baptizing us pastors, but it's really God doing it, right? It's a sacred act. And it joins us to the triune God. It brings us into the triune God. It brings us into the family of Christ. And we take on family ways. We act like Christ would act. That's the family ways. When I was taking my kids to school, we would call them Ells Road rules. As I was driving in their school, I said, this is what Ells Roads do. Ells Roads go to church. Ells Roads don't use drugs. Ells Roads obey every word their father says. Didn't always work out that way. Ells Roads do these things, right? Right. These are the Ells Road rules. Well, we have the family rules, right? That's what we have when we're baptized, right? We want to reflect what Christ means to our life. Now, you can never remain purposely unbaptized and think you're a part of the family of God. Baptism is not a suggestion. It's a command. It's a command. Now, there may be people who get to the end of life and they haven't been baptized, but they are believers. But if they could, they should be baptized, right? Because we here, knowing God's word, we want people to be baptized. We want infants, children, adults to be baptized. We believe in the one baptism, right? Because we want them to be connected to the promises of Jesus, wonderful promises of Jesus. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple, you're not born a disciple. You become one. After coming to faith, and almost simultaneously, you're starting to be trained and disciplined in the Christian faith. Therefore, disciples are learners. They're students. They're followers. They're apprentices. A disciple is going somewhere, that narrow road that leads to our true home, heaven, and going with someone. We're followers of Christ. That's a disciple. Now, a disciple must be, and I underline that word must be, a member or connected to a local church, assembly of Christians. Must be. Why? Because that's where one truly becomes a disciple. We're discipled, if you want to say it that way, by other disciples and by pastors who are shepherds of the flock. That's what we do. We shepherd people. We train them up to follow Christ. A disciple makes other disciples. You know, 80% of visitors who come to our church come because someone they respect invited them. Someone they respect invited them. So we make friends for Christ. And be assured the Holy Spirit's operative in all of this. I want you to think for a moment. This virus is going to end, right? But I want to think for a moment that you think of someone you can start praying for that you know does not know Christ or is not close to him or not believing. Now, this is the way it works. The Holy Spirit works to put that name in your head. It does. Holy Spirit works that way. And when the Holy Spirit puts that name in your head, think about it. Maybe inviting this person to dinner. Or maybe grabbing lunch with them or a coffee. And then just befriend them. And when they're in need, be sure to be there to help them in any way you can. And then talk about Jesus. Invite them to church, to a Bible study. You know, we're all of us as Christians called to take risks. We're not called to jump off a cliff and paraglide. If you do that, that's fine. But I mean, that's not what we're called to do. That's not the risk I'm taking. Every Christian is called to take a risk with people. And I know how difficult that is. But we have a mandate. We have a command from Jesus. Take risks with people. I know I'm filling some of you, or if not all of you, I'm filling myself with guilt because I've missed opportunities right and left. I don't want to do that. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When you think of Jesus' commands, is there a command that stands out above them all? I think there is. For instance, in John 15, 12, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Or in a similar vein, John 13, 35, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Love one another. It reminds me of that song that's, wait, goes way back a little bit. They'll know we are Christians by our, not by our voters' meetings, not by our divisions, not by our arguments, but by our love, right? They'll know we're Christians by our love. But they will also know that we're Christians by our public statements of faith and by our complete trust in God and by our enduring hope of eternal life. You know, all Ten Commandments can be summed up by love. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. First commandment, love keeps God first. Second commandment, love honors the name of God. Third commandment, love worships without fail. Fourth commandment, love honors your parents. Fifth commandment, love won't murder or even hurt someone. Sixth commandment, love won't commit sexual sins. Seventh commandment, love won't steal. Eighth commandment, love won't lie or slander your neighbor. Ninth and tenth commandment, love won't covet. Now, who among us has kept all these commandments for even a day? No. But we strive to. We strive to keep the commandments because we're Christians, and they'll know we're Christians by our love because that's who we are. And actually, 1 John 5:3 tells us that these commandments are not burdensome. Instead, they are the good life. You keep commandments, you'll know a lot of joy in your life. You break the commandments, they kind of break you, right? As disciples, we go to the Word of God instead of opinions. We listen to sermons, we go to Bible studies, we have quiet time of Bible reading and prayer, rather than depending on human philosophies. And we obey. There are a lot of people who want to grab us with their truth and tell us that this is the way it ought to be, and we ought to think this way, and we ought to think that way. No, we listen to the Word of God. We listen to the Word of God. And not only do we listen to it, Jesus tells us and urges, it's not good enough just to hear my word. You put it into practice. You need to put it into practice. Those are my disciples, not who just hear it. Oh, that was a good sermon, Pastor. I'm not going to do anything you said. You know, I preach, but I'm out there trying to do exactly what I said. I want to practice what I preach. Believe me, that can be hard. Then this scripture ends with the beautiful, extraordinary promise. I'll be with you always. I'll be with you in the good times. I'll be with you in the bad times. I'll be with you in the celebratory times. I'll be with you in disastrous times. I'll be with you when you have plenty. I'll be with you when you have little. I will never leave you or forsake you. Boy, that's a promise you can build your life on. I don't know what you're facing. If you're facing really tough times, you're facing, as a lot of people are, he won't forsake you. It's a promise. I'll be with you always. And I'll give you the strength. You can take strength in me to get through whatever you're going through. As you go, as you live your life, believe in Jesus, honor Jesus, follow Jesus, trust in him, obey him, and do all you can to make disciples for Jesus Christ. In his name and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.